You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hope you're having a great day. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today on Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Oh, good
sorry.
Job, Mark Zeno. No, you're good.
I was in front of you. You usually go quick on that.
Well, normally. I'm a little behind today. Maybe it's my sciatic nerve. Hey, we have a great poll question up. Do you agree with Zeno that the Falcons need a singular voice to make football decisions? Now, how do we get into this conversation? Because we need to retrack a little bit. We need to backtrack and talk to you about this. If you're just joining the show and tuning in for the first time today, where you been? Show starts at 2. We came in today, and part of the conversation started with Kirk Cousins and how the Falcons should handle this situation. So, Zeno, let's get into that first before we get into this football decision stuff, because it all is tied together. But you had an interesting way of what you thought should happen. What do you think should happen?
Well, I think priority number one for Terry Fontenot is to get Kirk Cousins off the roster via trade. Like, I mean, you know, look, and Turtle's right to a certain extent. There's a world where he can make all the calls he wants and nothing materializes, right? And right. Then the Falcons are left with no other option but to cut him. But, you know, I mean, beyond the actual transfer of who pays Kirk Cousins the money, that's not what the issue is. The issue is getting him off the roster with a post-June 1st trade, and you get the cap hit down to $12.5 million for 2025. That gives you all the flexibility in the world you need to be able to do other things. And so, you know, if you can't do that, then you're essentially running it back with only one or two minor changes, right? Like, I mean, sure, you can extend some of the guys you have, but you're not actually altering the roster in certain ways that are going to make you dynamically better than what you were this year. And so, yeah, it's derelict to keep Kirk Cousins on the roster with a $40 million cap hit and zero production. It's derelict. So they need to do everything possible. And whatever that deal looks like, as Ian Valentino from the 33rd team told us earlier, like, yeah, they're going to have to eat 90% of the salary
right.
And pay 90% of the money. That's fine. But again, then you deal with a pick swap in the third day, whatever it may be. Get whatever you can for him. But what you're trying to do is clear the cap space for 2025 so you can go out there and get other players. I mean, that's really ultimately what it boils down to. I mean, if you wanted to, you know, make a splash in free agency, you got to have the cap room to do it. $40 million of zero production is, again, it's just derelict from the GM seat. You can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think when you start talking about this whole situation, and I'm down at the Gateway Center, if you hear music behind us, that is not my out-of-the-tunnel music. They are practicing for the halftime and all the stuff that they do down here entertainment-wise. I think part of this is moving on from Cousins is inevitable, right? You have at least 90% of the fan base who is feeling some kind of way about him now that he has admitted, oh, yeah, I was hurt and I had this and that going on and, yeah, but, you know, I hope to be better next year. Nobody wants to hear that now. So I think just from a fan base standpoint, right, that the Falcons have an obligation to say, all right, this is not something that our fan base is up for, that they're going to continue to support. And then you add the financial part of that, because I don't know if that was the case, you know, 3 months ago. I think people were saying, oh, Cousins were hurt. We really don't know what's going on. And now he's come out and admitted all this stuff. You're not wrong about hopefully getting something in return. The problem is, in this NFL, today's NFL world, It just doesn't make sense. If I'm a general manager, and you can pick the team that I'm on, right? Pick the Seattle Seahawks. I don't care. Why would I go make a trade for somebody that I am going to pay for when I don't have to pay anything? The Steelers got Russell Wilson last year for $1 million.
Right.
The Broncos paid him $37
right.
million.
But again, the Falcons won't be paying that. I mean, the team they're trading to won't be paying that. The Falcons will. That's part of what the deal is that essentially the owner says, I'm getting a free player for nothing, a free starting quarterback for nothing out of my pocket or minimal out of my pocket over the course of the next 3 years.
Right.
That's how the deal gets consummated is you tell the other team, look, the other owner goes, I mean, I only got to pay him $2 million a year? Yeah, okay, we'll do that. I mean, whatever the number is, I'm just spitballing the idea, the concept here. You know, and I'll put my crazy GM hat on for a second if you really want me to knock you out of your chair. You know, we talked to Ian Valentino before. I just mentioned his name before, that the Browns may be interested. Is there a world where Kirk Cousins and two firsts and a third get you Myles Garrett in return? And the Falcons eat a lot of the Cousins contract.
I do the deal in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the Falcons would, yes.
Yes, I do the deal in a heartbeat, but I don't know if there is that world.
I don't think there is either. But, you know, I mean, again, it would take something like that. I mean, you know, in theory, again, if you are, let's say you offered a 2026 first-round pick, right? Not this year's first-round pick, next year's. And you can get them off the roster, and you can do a bunch of... Remember, all this is theoretically happening post-June 1st, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
You wouldn't be able to trade for a player in this year's draft because, in reality, he's still on the roster. So you have to trade a 2020... If you're doing post-June 1st, he's not off the roster until after June 1st. So you can't trade for a pick for him for this year's draft because you still own the pick. You can't give it away because there's no trade consummated until after the trade isn't officially happening until after the draft happens. So you'd have to offer a first-round pick in 2026, not 2025. But if you package Cousins with a first-round pick, and in theory you make the playoffs, that pick is in the 20s, right? So, I mean, that's the roll of the dice here. And according to the organization, remember what they told us, we don't plan on picking in the top anymore, right? That's what they told us. So that would be aligned with that same logic, that you can give away the pick in 2026 because it's not a high pick anyway.
Let's talk about the other side of this. It's Dukes and Bale, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zeno's in for Mike today. This hour, of course, brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings on a Thursday where it's Boneless Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings. The other side of this is who's making these decisions? And
good question.
We got into a heated debate earlier in the show about decision-making, which led us to this poll question that's up at Dukes and Bell 929. Do you agree the Falcons need one singular voice to make decisions? You are not happy with what they call collaboration, right? I want to understand you. You're not happy with the way that they say they go about their decision-making process.
No, because I have plenty of a track record. I have plenty of examples of how their process fails. They haven't been in the playoffs in 4 years. Their process is failing.
Seven.
Whatever the GM is doing, whatever collaboration they're using, is not working because they're not getting better. So I don't know what world you can continue to do the same process and hope for different results. Like all of a sudden something is going to be different. And so, you know, when I hear them talk about collaboration, I hear no one's in charge and no one's to blame. And again, if you want accountability with your fan base, right? And this isn't about calling for somebody's job. This isn't about getting somebody fired. This is about a process that successful teams use. You don't hear Howie Roseman say collaborate. You don't hear Eric DaCosta say collaborate. You don't hear, who's the GM of the Steelers? It's not Rooney's the owner. I forget the GM. Kevin.
Omar. No, he's not there anymore. It's Omar.
Omar,
it's,
okay.
Yeah. It's,
so
they have
my point is,
in the system, but yes, to your point.
The guy in KC. Brett Veach, you don't ever hear them talk about collaboration. The GM seems to make, obviously there's conversations and groups and things that goes on. Obviously, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta talk about picks and things.
Yes, Big Red is in on all of those player decisions. You know, I told a story leading into the Super Bowl about Brett Veach and how he sold Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes. Anybody could have Patrick Mahomes. Anybody. They went from 27 to 10 to get him. Nobody believed in him more than Brett Veach. And Veach convinced Andy Reid after 3 years, this is the guy we need. He is the next big thing. And Andy Reid finally went, fine, let's make it happen. After talking with Patrick Mahomes and interviewing him. To your point, that's a collaboration. So when you say that, Zeno, like, there has to be some of that. But when you say, is there one decision maker, it is about assessing blame. It is about being able to point the finger and say, who made this
decision? Let's look at the other side of it. Look at you saw the Giants on Hard Knocks. Look what Joe Shane did. Joe Shane was leading the charge in the room of moving away from Saquon. It didn't work out. But the point is, is that the GM was the lead dog pulling the sled. The GM was the one anchoring the conversation in a certain direction. He took input from everybody, and he made the decision.
Do you not think that Terry is
Don't. I don't.
Why?
Because, again, everything I hear is collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. I don't ever hear Terry Fontenot say, ultimately, I'll make the decision on the roster. And Raheem Morris will make the decisions on game day, on the staff, on the coaching and the game plan and everything else. That's not what we hear. So I can only go off the information I'm told. And what I'm told is everything is collaboration. Everything. And I'm also told by the owner that the head coach and the GM both report directly to him.
Yes.
So therefore, they are equal. Not one is above the other. They are equal. That's what they have told us. I'm not stating anything that I'm making up. This is what the information we as a fan base have been given by the Falcons. And all I know is the way they're doing it isn't producing results that are good enough. So you have to change the process if the results don't work out.
404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Let us know what you think.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We'll take some of your phone calls here coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day. I said this to Zeno earlier, and I'll say it, I'll repeat it for those who missed it. When Terry Fontenot got this job and was hired with Arthur Smith, they both, first-time head coach, first-time general manager, I truly believe that he acquiesced to Arthur Smith's wishes. Arthur Smith, if you go back and look at our drafts and how we drafted, the whole plan was, I am going to put an offense together that's going to not only score points and be dynamic, but we are going to be a force. Think about the picks that happened while Smith was here. I do believe that Terry Fontenot was well aware of what he was trying to do, but he also said, these are the kind of guys that I want, and fine, let's draft them. And they went there. And then, well, Smith is gone, and now Terry Fontenot's here. I believe at this point where he's at right now with this organization, Zeno, and I know you agree with me, he is finally doing more than what we assumed he was doing when it comes to these kinds of calls.
I hope so.
Now, I do too, now that the situation has changed. I'm not telling you Ra is not telling you what kind of players he wants. Of course he's going to do that. But I also think first-time GM, first-time head coach coming in, and you say, Coach, what do you want? Well, what do you think we need? And he said, man, we got to score points. We just lost Matt Ryan. He's thinking about all the things that you've got to add and knowing how the NFL works. Now, Arthur Smith didn't get a chance to see that out, but I'm going to tell you something. If Michael Penix comes in here and lights up the world with Drake and Bijan and all these guys, that was the plan. That was what he was hoping to try to do. Problem was he didn't have the quarterback. So I think Terry Fontenot now is doing exactly what we think he should be doing. I don't know if that was the case first few years here.
And again, this is, it's not that I dislike Terry or I think he's necessarily doing a bad job. The results aren't there. Look, and I even questioned Terry about it at the press conference at the end of the year.
Yeah, Mike gave
Terry, your drafts have not been good. They just haven't, and he knows that, and he understands it. I don't think he's going to sit there and refute, no, we've had really good drafts. No, you haven't. Like, you know, other than Bijan and Drake, you've gotten next to zero production from any of the draft picks that you've taken to this point. How that process went down, I don't know. But what I do know is if you use that same process again in this year's draft, it's not going to work out because the past 4 years have told me it doesn't work out.
We're going to take your phone calls. Singular voice, who do you want it to be? By the way, do you want the owner out in front of everybody each and every week telling this us that everything's okay?
No. You don't want that.
I don't want that either.
No, you don't want that. What you want is the owner to sit in the background and not say a damn word and
Correct.
Let the GM and the head coach do all the speaking.
Well, and everybody's saying it should be Arthur Blank. Are you crazy? Then you're going to say he's meddling and he's involved way too much. We're going to talk to you guys. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Star break. Should have won one last night as they come from behind twice against the Knicks at the Garden. We'll talk about that along the way. But we're talking about the Falcons. Guys, it's the process. Zeno mentioned some of the best general managers in the National Football League. When you have a history of success, nobody questions your process. When you don't, people wonder if you're doing the right things. That's where we're at. Again, it's not a dislike of Terry Fontenot. It's not a dislike of anybody in the front office. It's just making you wonder about the player selection and the route that we're going. When you talk about guys like Howie Roseman, who just won a Super Bowl, he's been doing it since 2012, and he's made key acquisitions and free agent moves. Nobody's questioning Howie, and they shouldn't.
Right.
But that's not this. And so that's why we're talking about it, because it's moving forward. How do we get to where we want to be?
And here's the thing, Dukes. Like, and fellas, with Valentine's Day coming tomorrow, like, if you got your girl roses and she didn't react, and then you decided to go get her tulips and she didn't react, then maybe you decided with a whole bouquet of daisies and everything else and she didn't react, guess what? You might want to stop bringing flowers. Try something different. You know, maybe some chocolates, maybe some jewelry, whatever it may be.
What's your go-to?
God, I haven't had to do Valentine's Day in a long time, so.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I mean, you know.
I don't want you feeling some kind of way. I mean, there's somebody out there for you, Z.
As soon as cuffing season comes around, Zeno is – that's when the breakups happen, man.
As soon as what season?
Cuffing season comes around.
Cuffing season?
Yeah, you never heard of cuffing season?
You find a boo and you settle down for several months.
For the winter season, Valentine's Day, the holidays, cuffing season.
Oh, you know? So you don't have to buy any of the gifts and then you get back in the springtime.
You're breaking up right around Halloween. That's usually the
strategy. You have to be in a relationship to break up. So there is that. But, yeah, I get your point. You know, I think you just gotta do the little things. You know, if you do, I do a lot of little things that add up to a big thing. Every now and then you could just splash and do something nice, but you know, follow
when
the
you say little, how little?
It kind of depends on, you have to know your partner, right? You got to know your girl. You got to know what really makes her clock tick. If she hates unloading the dishes, unload the dishes. She hates folding laundry, fold the laundry. Do all those things, you know? See, what you do is, if you do like one little thing each day leading up to it, and you kind of present it with a card each day, go spend out $450 on a card. Here's your first day of 7 day of Valentine's. I folded the laundry. Next day, I did the dishes, right?
By the time
you get to Valentine's Day, all you got to do is go to dinner, and all of a sudden she feels like a queen, right?
It's a good call.
You know?
You're right about that. That's a good call.
You got to build it up. You got to build it up, man. I mean, you know, they just want to feel like they are number one. And if you put them at the top of the list, everything is good. You know?
There's somebody out there for
that,
you.
That poor sucker, wherever she is. My God, pity that poor soul.
But you're right. All right, let's grab some phone calls. We're talking about our front office. Want to talk to Alan in Woodstock. Alan, welcome in. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Alan, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, man, it's a mess in there, and they need to get it straight. You know, somebody's got to own up. They got to do their job. You know, let the coach run the field and the team, you know, when they're playing, and let the general manager do his job behind the scenes. That's the way it should work.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this, though. You know, it's funny. Like, Nick Sirianni's a Super Bowl champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy now to say let the coach do the work or whatever. I mean, Howie drafted two monsters in the middle that allowed him to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of this. Like, Sirianni looks way smarter than probably he actually is. Every coach would tell you that. We don't have enough guys. I've been saying this all offseason since we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about players. I'm talking about dudes that can get it done.
Jimmy's and Joe's, baby.
That's right. Difference makers. We don't have enough of them. Eagles do. Chiefs do. Ravens do. Bills do.
But see, here's the problem. Like, you built a team, at least particularly on the offensive side last year, that did have all the Jimmys and Joes you needed, right? And look, I'll sort of go against my own philosophy. Like, yes, it is a collaborative effort to win a Super Bowl. Everybody's got to do their job. Yes. Everyone has to do their job, and everybody has to be good at their job in order for all the chips and all the pieces to fall into place. I'm not necessarily poo-pooing collaboration. I'm more poo-pooing the messaging because, again, if the way they go about doing things, you know, netted better results, then there would be less questions. But something isn't working. Something is rotten in the state of Flowery Branch that isn't making this thing work. And so from that standpoint, you have to believe that whatever the process is, whether it's one guy making the decision or five guys, then you need to get a new group of people doing the decision making. Whatever it may be, the process is failing at this point in time, and it needs to get fixed. And all fans want, more than anything, is some level of measurable accountability for why things are going wrong. And that's the other part of this. When you come up short in the sports world to the, quote, patrons and the fans, you have to give some better explanation than what we're getting of why it failed. You know, and again, when the mishaps are obvious, i.e., the quarterback situation, the kicking situation, the lack of players on defense, like, okay, we keep sort of going over this same ground over and over and over again, and nothing is changing. So the process keeps staying the same, and that's why people are like, okay, well, I don't believe anything they say because their actions don't match their words, ever.
Actions don't match the words because we hadn't won enough.
Right. That's the point.
Yes, but winning, like, that's the thing. We just haven't won enough. It doesn't mean that the process is flawed, right? I mean, sometimes you can try your best, and you just don't get it done. The problem is, and I get it, Falcon fans like this, that's been our whole lives. But that's part of this. Like, we're trying maybe to do all the things we need to do, but maybe we hadn't gotten the right guys. Maybe we hadn't made the right moves. Hell, this year, do you look at Terry Fontenot differently after he went after Simmons and Judon? We wanted those guys.
Yeah, we did.
We wanted them.
And they didn't play well.
But the point is that a flawed process? He did what general managers are supposed to do. I'm going to try to make my team better.
It didn't work. Last offseason, they were as aggressive as they could be, and I applauded them for it. I was the biggest proponent of the Kirk Cousins signing and the biggest anti-drafting Michael Penix afterwards. Not because I thought Michael Penix was a bad player, but because you should have done one or the other, not both. But that said, yes, their process heading into this season looked like it was going to work out. It didn't. So now evaluate it and give me a different process that nets different results.
I think, Zeno, and we got to grab Ice and Neil and these guys on the phones here. I think if the Falcons don't do those moves, people are killing him. People are saying, why don't the Falcons ever go out and do something? They went out and did something, and yes, it didn't work.
Yep.
That's not the process. That's the guys you went after. Sometimes
okay,
it just doesn't
so
work.
So then, real quick, I want to get to the calls. But then, whose fault is it that the process didn't work? Yeah, exactly. You don't know the answer, neither do I. Nobody knows the answer. Because, as you're saying, we can't blame Terry because it's not all him. It's collaborative. We can't blame Rod. It's not all him. It's collaborative. Can't blame the owner. It's not all him. It's collaborative.
No. Listen, to go out and make those free agent moves, that's Terry Fontenot, right? Obviously, he's telling Coach Ra, but that's Terry. It didn't work. If I'm Terry Fontenot, I'm willing to have that on my record because I took a chance. Sometimes you have to do that.
Agree.
But it's the same with the draft, though, right, fellas? I mean, there have been and I'm not exaggerating or hyperbolic here, there have been countless misses in the draft in every round.
Yes, and that's the problem, and that's his biggest problem right now. Because, again, you haven't built enough through the draft to be able to have a roster that has the cap flexibility with young players that you're in a position where you are.
Well, you had the cap flexibility until you signed Cousins. You did. They had gotten
true
out of cap hell.
Yep, they did.
We had gotten out of cap hell. You did until you did that. Let's grab Ice. Ice in the ATL. What do you think, man?
No, fellas, was good. Carl, I want to first say I'm glad that you're good. And then
thank you, man.
Nothing serious.
Appreciate you.
But I do want to say this, man. I hope you're taking copious notes to my man Zeno here. I want you to preach, Zeno. The only thing I take exception with is that you just said something in regards to not wanting to have drafted Penix. I believe you have to stuff the quarterback room because of situations that happen like this season or injury. But let me just say this first and foremost. When it comes to Cousins, take your loss, trade him, cut him. I want you guys to think about it like this, and I know Zeno does. If you have a stock that you purchased, and the stock itself is facing loss.
There you go.
You don't continue
yep
to take the loss.
Exactly.
You know, because there's opportunity cost that happens along
but
Ice, the way.
But, Ice, to your point, this is an organization that doesn't like to openly admit they made a mistake. And them dumping okay Cousins is them having egg on their face that it was the wrong decision to sign him.
Yeah,
and that's
but,
not
know,
something
everybody
that,
and their mom knows
you,
that's
Zeno,
the case.
With,
said,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
not going to stop him
Zeno
from doing it.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Ice.
But I'm with Zeno 1,000%. But let me expound on what I think is, you know, we're a debacle as a franchise. Okay, you got franchises in the NFL such as the Giants, the Jets, and the Falcons. Okay, and I got to be honest with you guys, you are substantiating my point by saying who's accountable, but it always comes from the top. I think it's time Arthur Blank sold the team. What other organization in the NFL has another character like Rich McKay? Or, you know, then you got Terry Fontenot, you got Ra Ha Ha, and you know how I feel about Ra Ha Ha, you know. Carl, I think he's the greatest gum chewer as coaches in the NFL.
We're going to find out.
Is,
we're going to find out.
Well, this you got to cut him. His history shows that he's not a Super Bowl guy. So my point is, cut your loss now like you cut your loss with Cousins and you start to move on. But I think we are never going to change because, like Zeno's pointing out, you know, insanity is always doing the same thing, you know, and believing that you're going to get a different result. The ownership is the problem, and the bureaucracy of what we do is the result of it. And like you said, they don't want to accept blame, but we're never going to reach the Super Bowl with this ownership and this core of people. And the coaches bear it out. Let's be honest.
Well, okay? Look,
I appreciate it.
The hard part is, look, I mean, Arthur Blank is not going to sell the team. I mean, that's just
no,
the reality.
And by the way, we've been to a Super Bowl. I mean, like, to say we've never – here's the difference. We had one. Giants have won Super Bowls, as dysfunctional as you think they are.
They are right? Dysfunctional right now. They didn't always used to be.
Correct. And so, look, I know that Ice is passionate about how he feels and thinks, you know, who's still involved and thoroughly involved in the decision-making when he mentions Rich McKay. All I can tell you guys is that's not happening. And whether you believe it or not, that's fine. But I know there are a lot of people in our city that believe that that's, you know, until that situation gets resolved with Mr. Blank and everybody, that, like, somehow, you know, like, for example, the Commanders. Daniel Snyder doesn't own the Commanders, not anymore, because he didn't want to. He got ran out. I mean, give me a break.
Right.
Like there is a difference between – Arthur Blank has not done anything wrong. He's allowed the decision makers to try to make the right decisions to lead his football team. It just hasn't happened for us. All right, we're coming back. If you want to chime in, you're more than welcome. It's Dukes and Bell. Put into your bag there. Here's what I would say. And this is what we don't know. And I think I've asked Arthur this. You know, he wrote a book a couple of years ago. It was about leadership and all this stuff. And I went over to his offices. And we sat down and we talked about it because I did it for my podcast at the time. And so we talked about, you know, how he does business. And fundamentally, how Arthur did business with Home Depot and what he's done and all these business adventures. And there are things, guys, that, you know, you may or may not know about that he's involved in. Obviously, that's made him a billionaire. But he was talking about all these things. And the one thing that I never got from him that I wish I would have, and this gets us back to what you're asking me. Who does he talk to and trust enough to get feedback and evaluation about the things that either he does in making decisions or how his team is run? Ultimately, Zeno, I think you need that to be football people, I would guess. It can't be somebody that's, oh, I don't know, in the tech world, you know, that's living in the Bay Area that comes in and says, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. It may be. I don't know. But I don't know who that is. And I only say that to answer your question with, you can't, all right, evaluate yourself or your organization from the inside. It always has to come from somebody that you trust and eyes outside of your organization. I'm a true believer in this. I don't ask people I know and people that love me how good you think I am. I ask people who I trust in this business who don't necessarily listen to me every day or don't know what's going on. And, hey, check this out. What do you think? Zeno, you know, that's how you get real feedback.
So what are you saying? The Falcons should call me? Is that what you're saying?
You need another gig? You need another gig?
You want me to be a consultant?
So that's what I think. To answer your question, who is that? Can anybody, honestly, and well, here's part of
isn't,
this.
But isn't that part of the problem? I mean, don't we see a lot of sort of groupthink?
That's the answer to your question.
Don't we
that's,
see a lot of groupthink from the organization?
That's
again,
part of your,
the collaboration. It's like if you're sitting in a room with all the people who you sit in a room with and ask a question, you're going to get the same answers over and over again. Which, again, this is not a knock on Jeff Ulbrich because I do think he's a good DC. But the idea that, of thinking that the Falcons are going to go outside of their circle to hire somebody, to bring in new life, to bring in new infusion, to bring in something different was fallacy because it's not what they do and it's desperately what they need. They need a new set of eyes from the outside to give this thing a fresh look and say, hey,
well,
why don't we do it this way?
Let me say this about Ulbrich. And again, I'm with you. I think he can be a very good DC. I loved his honesty and the fact that he was like, yeah, I was here. See, a lot of times people just think because somebody was here, they're going to do it the same way. That's unfair. You leave, you grow. I've been to different markets. I've done different things. I've been to multiple radio stations. Like, at the end of the day, it's not always because you've been somewhere you're going to do it the same way. And I think the automatic assumption is, well, he was here. And this is how Dan Quinn did it, and therefore we're going to do it that way. And I thought he answered that question very well when he was like, look, we did some really good things when DQ was here, but the league has changed, and we're not going to do a lot of those things. We're going to evolve and do some things differently. I will say this, you know, and whether you think it's right or wrong, this is what I think ultimately happened. And whether it works, we will see. And if it doesn't, people will kill it, and we'll all say what a disappointing hire. And if it works, then maybe we're talking about a Super Bowl run. But when you need somebody you can trust, you hire your friends. I'm sorry. You do?
Yeah.
It happens. It happens every day in the
real
world,
Zeno. No, you're not right. I can't say.
And so
you hire people you know and trust, right?
And trust. And so it's not as if Jeff didn't bring experience, that he hadn't been to other places, that he hadn't been around other coaches. We just didn't like that he had been here and it was part of the failure. That's why you didn't like the hire.
I never said I didn't like the hire.
Well, you're saying they're doing the same thing.
I did not say I didn't like that. I had nothing to do with it. What I said was the idea that they would reach outside of their own and a known commodity that they already knew wasn't going to happen, regardless of who they interviewed. It was always going to be somebody who had a previous connection to the organization or the coaching staff, or there was
But you know who doesn't do that? Do you know who Andy Reid brought back as his offensive coordinator? Do you know?
Yeah, some guy named Matt Nagy.
Where was Matt Nagy before he left Kansas City?
He was the head coach of the Bears.
So all of a sudden, he became brilliant again.
Yeah, but they
and
had
joins
success
the Chiefs.
There. They had success there with him already. The yeah, problem but, is the Falcons haven't had success.
But you're saying the same thing. What I'm telling you is, you hire people you know and trust.
No, it you're not wrong.
It had nothing to do with Nagy being successful. It had zero to do with that. Andy Reid said, come on home, because I know you, and I trust you, and all of a sudden now Nagy's a brilliant genius again. Every organization does this. You could go down the list of teams, and I could tell you from coach to coach, this is what happens. It doesn't mean it's always right.
But again, it goes back to what you said before. Sometimes you have to go to outside sources to get some different perspective on what is going on. And again, I mean, it goes back to go back to Belichick, right? The idea that, and at the last minute, whatever happened, whatever, you know, sort of things transpired to pull the drain plug and let that thing go away, happened because the idea of hiring somebody from the outside was obviously way too much for them. Yeah. It was obviously way too much for a dramatic shift and change in the organization to be able to hire Bill Belichick versus going back to a known commodity that they know. Not an indictment on Ra, not an indictment on his coaching ability or anything like that. This is more philosophical than it is like actual, you know, literal and functional.
Set in stone.
Right.
No, you're absolutely right. All right, let's grab Allison. I want to hear what Allison has to say. Welcome in, Allison. We're talking about our Falcons and our processes and how we move forward. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. First of all, this is what I want them to stop doing. Stop drafting guys from struggling programs who cannot do anything on day one. I need you to go get some dudes from the SEC, especially on the defensive side of the ball, who by halftime will have our opponents, whoever's on the offensive side, questioning their life choices, okay? That's what I need to see. Because I have coined the nickname for the Philadelphia defensive line. They are the Philadelphia Moving Company because those jokers moved people. They moved that offensive line around like it was furniture.
Yep.
Okay? Go get some guys who are day one difference makers. Stop getting guys and telling me, well, you know, we need to develop him. We need to do this. We need to do – no. Season ticket holders are going to get tired of that, especially when you keep raising the price of your tickets and they just don't see the results on the field. You've got to start getting guys who are day one difference makers. I don't know. The scouting department, to me, has just always been a little suspect to me. I'm like, I don't know who's cousins, nephews, who y'all got working in there, but they obviously ain't good football people.
Allison, I love your phone call. I love that you listen to us every day. Zeno, she's not wrong. Mike has been saying this for a while. Let's stop going to Montana State and some of these places we've gone to find guys because you think this is better than what's right in front of you. And it hasn't been that case every time, but more times than not. And that is part of the problem is we live in the heart of the SEC. Guys, college football revolves around our city. We see all these teams. We got within an arm's, you know, a rock's throw. You got Auburn, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina. You got all these schools, and you know, we continue to do that. It's frustrating. The fans, we're like, have you seen this dude down the road? I don't disagree with you, Allison. And look, it doesn't mean that pick is going to be right, but we definitely feel a lot better about it because at least you feel like, hell, I've seen enough of this particular player. Nobody knew anything, no disrespect, about Troy Anderson when he got here. We're like, Troy Anderson, where? Montana, where?
No, listen, they're good at drafting Clemson players, if that means anything to anybody.
Another school right down the road.
Yeah, they're good at drafting those guys. They've seemed to work out. Even Vic Beasley for 1 year worked out pretty well, so there is that. But, look, the draft, you know, I hear fans make this complaint all the time about draft more Georgia players, draft more SEC players, and I understand, you know, holistically why that makes sense. But, you know, the idea that you're going to change your draft strategy because a guy went to a certain school seems a little
bit... That doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm with
you. Like that, you know, a lot of things have to fall, you know, your way. You want to talk about drafting Jalen Carter? Okay. I mean, you didn't take him. But the guy you got instead, was that the year they took Drake?
No, it was Bijan.
It was Bijan. Okay. Yeah, then. So you didn't get that pick wrong. Right? I mean, you have to make a choice, and they went down that road, and they got, you know, a top three running back in the league, top five running back in the league.
And here's what's funny about that. You know, again, the comparison, and we always talk about, it's not that both can't be successful, and we hope that both are. Jalen now is a Super Bowl champion. But the fact is, people forget, you know, a lot of people were, a lot of teams are coming off of Jalen because they weren't sure about what was going on. We forget, people question him being in shape. Could he stand up and be a three-down guy? There was a lot of stuff that it's like we always forget, look, and we see him now, and it's like, oh, yeah, everybody should have taken him. Well, that wasn't the case. Again, nobody moved up to take him number one overall.
The only thing I would say about the draft strategy, again, in general, the last 4 years have not produced very good drafts. Whatever your process is, change it. Don't do the same thing again. Try something different. I mean, you know what the difference is in trying something different and failing and the difference of doing the same thing and failing? Oh, it's exactly the same. So there's no harm in trying something different. Because what I do know is in 4 years of whatever draft strategy they've employed, it hasn't worked. Other than Bijan and Drake, it has not worked.
Let's talk to Derek in Johns Creek. Derek, thanks for holding on. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I think kind of the harsh reality is that from top to bottom, this organization is full of jacks. And I just really hate saying that about like a Bijan Robinson or a Drake London or any of the guys on defense, Jesse Bates. But philosophically, the situation also matters. So if you're from the top bottom being run by just another guy, you kind of just creating a just another guy organization and just another guy team. And I really don't love that philosophy, just like Zeno's saying. Something has to change, and it's not every day that you're going to be plucking a Patrick Mahomes or a Tom Brady out of the draft. Some of these guys actually really just do develop into that guy.
Yes.
He is your leader. And I hate going back into history, but I'm really disappointed that they took that guy, Matt Ryan, out of the picture. You know, and a lot of that I think is just because of that philosophy and the just another guys that were above him. That, I mean, it's not Matt that they forced Matt out, and I hate that, but man, something really does have to change.
Yes, that's the point. Philosophically is the problem.
Or somebody really has to come in and it really got to be that guy.
The philosophy is the issue. And I'll add one more. And this is more proof that, you know, and we'll see it unfold over the course of the next couple of weeks here, Dukes. You want to know proof that they don't like admitting they made a mistake? If Kyle Pitts is on this roster again this year,
my goodness.
Like, I don't know what that is the easiest trade commodity. Somebody will give you a fourth or third round pick for him. Easily. Somebody will give you a draft pick for him. If you let him stay on this roster, you are sitting there saying, we're okay with this. We're okay with a subpar productive player that we drafted in the first round. And because we drafted him so high, we're not willing to admit that we made a mistake and got it wrong. That's the easiest thing to move. He should have been moved already. Yeah. Like, honestly, this is, again, the philosophical issue I have with the organization. There's zero reason he should be on this roster next year. Zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, it is a failed experiment that is not going to get any better, and you're going to pay him $10 million to continue to be a average to below average tight end. Yeah. Like, that's the reality, and I'm not knocking him as a player or his talent. Whatever it is, it didn't work here. Yeah. Cut bait, trade him, move on, and let's start with something new.
And maybe the first thing we've agreed on all day, Zeno. Coming up, 6 o'clock hour straight ahead. Is he going to hit like he did two seasons ago or like he did last year? We need two seasons ago if the Braves are going to be successful. Pitchers and catchers reported yesterday. We'll get into that as well as the Hawks coming up next.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.